And after that, here ends the service for today. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. I mean, what more do you say to that? Anyway, have y'all heard the joke? I'm sure you have, about religious bigots who want to get under the skin of Unitarian Universalists. They burn a question mark on your lawn. Have you heard? And I bring that up because it has been my experience. I'm just going to move this here. That, and not with all people, but some Unitarian Universalists actually they get nervous when they're referred to as people of faith. And a lot of this is due to religion of origin stuff, but maybe more evangelical kind of background before they've joined a UU church or congregation or fellowship or society, but it sometimes can get in the way. Faith is, I always say that it doesn't matter to me personally what you say you believe, because I know what you believe by how you treat me. You can go to Wednesday night Bible study. You can be in the shul or the temple on Friday. You can do all the things that one must do for Shabbat or whatever, but I know what you believe by how you treat me. A Course in Miracles says that faith is like love because it means letting go of fear. Faithlessness will destroy and separate, but faith will unite and faith will heal, at least most of the time. Faithlessness is dedicated to illusions, and faith is dedicated to truth, but they can't exist together. And this is what makes faith such a gift. It's what helps us to heal ourselves and the planet. Because, well, what is faith? I guess we should begin with that. What is faith anyway? The Oxford Dictionary describes faith as a reliance on trust, a belief in religious doctrine, a system of religious belief, yada, yada, yada. In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he writes that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Judy just gave us some definitions of faith, some quotes about that, which are wonderful. But faith is like love in the sense that if I asked each and every one of you in here, what is faith to you, we would get several different answers. And that's all good. It's a matter of personal conviction. How do we define faith? Because no matter what we say about faith, we also have to have doubt. The two exist together. How does our faith sustain us in a time of crisis? What is crisis? As we explore this for a few minutes, I want you to think about it, but I want you to come up with your own answer. I mean, the quotes are wonderful and they're very eloquent. But again, we'll know where your faith is by what you believe. And then that will lead to your behavior. And then we'll really get a grasp on what faith is. Now, we all may have known someone personally who may have seemed to live their life above it all. And by that, I mean that, you know, some people just go through life unscathed, or seemingly so. And we say, well, these people lived charmed lives. But yet most of us, like it or not, have suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and we have the scars to prove it. And hopefully, we have grown from the process. Each and every one of us here this morning will have to answer about a crisis of faith. We've all been through it. We just heard you talk about the death of your wife and how you've come out on the other side of that. And you go on, but you don't forget. And it's a crisis at some point. Crises changes us, and that change can mean loss, and it can mean gain. And over the years of our lives, our inner lives, our spiritual lives, if you will, we create and we're shaped by the experiences which transform us. The death of a loved one, a life-challenging disease, maybe losing your job, the breaking up of a relationship, Most of us have heard that the Chinese character for the word opportunity includes both the symbols of danger and opportunity. I'm sorry, the Chinese word for crisis and danger. What is the danger and loss? Our personal identity. Our sense of self is strongly invested in the people we hold dear. But when we lose that, it's kind of like an ego death. We die many times before we finally leave this world. And when our family, friends, employment, favorite activities, our youth, when all of this is lost or seemingly lost, the security of our identity is threatened. Where is your faith? What is the opportunity in crisis? Perhaps some of us come to faith by kicking and screaming. Nothing hurts so much or is as frustrating as not only not getting your life lesson, but not getting it for the third and fourth time. I happen to view planet Earth as a schoolhouse where we're here to learn life lessons and to learn what it means to be human, to learn to experience love and forgiveness, joy as well as pain. And it has been my experience that when we do get it, we move from one set of challenges to a better set of challenges. This is sometimes referred to as human evolution. It can go at a glacial pace. Just pick up a newspaper. I had to learn to appreciate the repetition of life and not to get it down or frustrate me, because I feel that if one is fully engaged with life, it's very difficult to get bored with it. How can you really be bored with life? The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that there's really nothing new under the sun. It's only possible to have new experiences of that which has already occurred. This idea can be wasted on the young, but life is repetition, and we must all acquire a taste for it. We know that in the springtime, the flowers will bloom. In the summer, we will bask in the sun. In the fall, we will once again smell the freshness in the air, and in the next winter, we will once again stand in wonder at the snow that may fall. We'll once again smile when we sing or hear our favorite song, or when a loved one embraces us, an embrace of which we can never quite get enough of. First Nations people remind us that life is a circle. The earth, a bird's nest, the pattern of night following day, it's all a circle of repetition, and circular logic gains its power from the circle that it creates. I'm almost done. To travel a circle is to journey over the same ground over and over again. And so to travel wisely, we travel over the same ground, but we really see it for the very first time. We see it differently because we are different. It's like the old saying that one can never step into the same river twice, or Thomas Stern Eliot's quote about never ceasing from exploration. But when we finally do, which is a contradiction in terms, but he says we arrive at the place we started and we know it for the very first time. We begin to realize with life's lessons that sometimes where we wanted to be, where we needed to be, we were always there. For many of us, myself included, I had to learn from repetition. And that journey began with doubt and questions about life and what I had been told to believe. I had to learn to trust my own insight, my own wisdom, knowing that I would not be damned if I did. And that eventually set me free. A crisis of faith led me to Unitarian Universalism. After all, it's just a matter of faith. When my brother was murdered back in 95, I had to practice what I believe. What sustained me? I mean, I was really, really angry. And, well, the wind were taken out of my sails, but that's when I had to say, okay, this is, if you're about what you say you're about, now what are you going to do? He's gone. What are you going to do? I had to have faith that I didn't need to know all the answers and that it was okay not to know all the answers. This belief serves me well, even to this day. I had to have faith that I didn't need to believe in a heaven to ease my pain. I had to have faith that I'm doing the best I can, and that's all that really matters when it's all said and done. I had to have faith that although I cannot control all the events of my life, and believe me, I've tried to, I can choose the lesson that I get from all these events. I had to have faith in the power of community. I had to have faith that I make a difference and that love temporarily defeated is still more powerful than so-called evil triumphant. I had to have faith that my faith will continue to grow. I've learned this just by living long enough. And I've learned that everything changes, that trouble doesn't last always. Good times come and go, and so do bad times. We all suffer, and it'll pass. Joy comes and goes. We all have wonderful memories to sustain us as well. I've learned that wounds do not just disappear, they leave scars. And life is not always fair. This is life on planet Earth. But I do have faith. I have faith that I have faith and works, and not just faith in works. Faith without works is truly dead, in my humble estimation. I want to have more faith in you and me, but I know that it's a decision. It's a decision to learn to forgive. My way is not a better way. It's simply another way. Most importantly, I've learned the three words that describe life the best are these words, that life goes on. It's just a matter of faith. Thank you.
It's hard to preach after Michael. I'll just say that. So y'all breathe, feel his energy, and then we're moving to a different place. We are very different. And this will highlight some of that for you. So what does it mean to be a people of faith? And faith is the critical word here, and unlike Michael, I did not turn to the dictionary. But I'm positing that faith is a deeper than thinking. It's not here. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not a memorizing of facts to pass a quiz or knowing the answers or belief. It has emotional and spiritual dimensions that move us in a way out of here into our beingness. It is that inherent trust that there is something more, something that we can feel and sense and rely upon without seeing or logically defining it. It has a personal quality, that which you place your faith in, that which speaks to the beingness at the center of you, is that in which you place your faith, and mine may very well and will likely be very different. That something more doesn't have to be the something more that some of our more traditional, theologically traditional neighbors see, but a something more sense of life. It is that quality of trusting in something not yet and perhaps not ever knowable by our minds. It's that deep-seated knowledge, feeling, sixth sense of something. Something we don't understand, but something powerful and beautiful and loving about life and living. Arising from deep within us as almost when we let it, an awareness of the true nature of ourselves, of our world, giving us courage and strength, enabling us to trust and to act with compassion toward ourselves, toward each other, toward humanity and all of creation. As King said, faith is taking that first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. For my generation, and there are a few of us here, it might be not hearing King's voice, but seeing Indiana Jones take that step across the chasm even when he couldn't see the bridge. Some of you remember that. So what does it mean to be a people of faith? It means that we listen to life's mystical whisper, that there is something more. It means that we answer the invitation to life and living and loving, that we answer it wholly, and we live and love wastefully. It means, in the words of William Sloane Coffin, that we take the leap and then we grow the wings, that we create our new reality when we take the leap and live into that way of being. This isn't the blind faith of the gambler that risks everything on one roll of the dice. It is a thoughtful, quiet stillness, trusting of that whisper of something more that beckons us into life, into love, into wholeness, into interdependence. Though we each hear that whisper in our own way, the call of faith is a highly personal invitation to each of us. That whisper is not the ego self. Instead, if we heed it, it pulls us out of our ego selves and into connection with each other, into connection with creation, into connection with life. The invitation of faith is inherently life-enhancing. Now, in my life, I've taken various leaps. And though it was a risk to step off the mountain face when learning to rappel, or to jump out of the perfectly good airplane, those were not what I would call leaps of faith. Part of the rush and the excitement of those moments was the risk. Would the ropes and harnesses hold? And there also was the trust that somebody else was risking their life right along with me, and so our lives were tied together in those moments. But I didn't grow wings in those moments. I just had the exhilaration of free fall, and it was fun. Instead, the moments where I grew wings when I took a leap of faith were very different and much more personal. When I took that leap of faith into ministry, and trust me, in the window between application to school and acceptance, I had a moment of conversation with one of my surrogate moms, actually on a ridge of a mountaintop overlook. And I remember saying at that moment in the car that I wasn't sure if going into ministry was taking a leap of faith or really just diving into the abyss. And I was pretty convinced it was diving into the abyss. But that voice was whispering, that call to something life-enhancing and something more. And despite my ego-driven doubts, I took a leap and I grew wings. I took a leap of faith into marriage and motherhood, and almost all of you here know that those are leaps. To trust your life inherently connected with another person, and then to bear the responsibility of raising other beings, those are leaps of faith that many or most of you in this room have made. I grew wings when I accepted the director job at the clinics, when I joined this congregation, when together we stepped out to enable dreams for those in our community who didn't have them. And as many of you have pointed out this morning, there is this little piece. And the backstory on this is when the group of us, and the clinics is just one piece, but when the group of us first raised the word, this word naloxone, 2 years ago, we were told by everybody in town it was a dirty word, that we could not say it, do not bring it to Hendersonville, never. The justice system, the police, everybody said no. There were some docs who were like, no, it's a good thing. But it was the political will of this community said, it took us 2 years. But not only is it here, but how many of you saw WLOS on Thursday night? They started that story. It was also about the drug, the medicine at the free clinics. But they started that story by interviewing Frank Stout of the Sheriff's Department. And not only is the clinic going to be having it, but every first responder already has it, and very soon it will be in every sheriff's deputy car in the entire county. So we went from it being a dirty word and don't say it to here. This community has grown wings in our ability to save lives. Because make no mistake, they started carrying it on Monday the 12th, the first responders, and on Thursday the 16th, they saved a life. All action for justice requires that we step out on faith, that we answer the invitation, that we take the leap and grow wings, that we live our way into the reality that we envision. There is no armchair justice, no comfortable justice, no justice without taking a leap. Those heroes that we admire, Martin, Gandhi, Harriet Tubman, Mandela, Mother Teresa, Rosa Parks, Cesar Chavez, they all stepped out of their comfort. They all risked. They all made a leap of faith and grew wings. And they grew wings not only for themselves, but they inspired thousands upon thousands upon thousands to follow them over the cliff, to take the leap with them, to create the world that we wanted to create. To be persons of faith means that we open ourselves to listening to that sense at our deepest center that there is something more, to trusting that there is something more, and then to slowly living into and in that trust. To walk as a person of faith is to walk with trust in the invitation and keep walking, even when the path is not clear, when the staircase is hidden, when the chasm yawns below us, and when the guidance is shrouded and mysterious. To walk as a person of faith requires practice, risk, and discipline. Mystics and sages throughout the ages have taught us that by quieting our mind and focusing our attention, we change. We step outside of our egos and we touch into that something more. So this month, as we explore faith in our Soul Matters journey, may we open ourselves to the invitation of faith. May we each hear and heed those mystical whispers of something more. Faith may be inviting you to speak up when it is inconvenient to do so, to take a class or learn something new. It may be inviting you to go to Raleigh or Washington to make your voice heard. Or, and this one's radical, share the good news of Unitarian Universalism even here in the Bible Belt. Or risk change by giving up that comfortable job for the chance of a lifetime. Or intervene in a questionable traffic stop of a Latino man. Or when you hear a racist or heterosexist comment. Or see a woman or child being abused or bullied. Faith may be inviting you to practice random acts of kindness where you pay for the guy behind you in the drive-thru. Or let the car merge even in the ugliest traffic on 26. I encourage us each to pay attention to the whispers of faith in our own lives. May we notice the whisper of something more and resist the all-too-human urge to silence it. With our technology, we've gotten really good at hitting that silence button. There's the snooze button, but now we all know it on our phones. Resist. Instead, allow that whisper to echo in your beingness, to grow louder and stronger, making the path a little more clear, beckoning us where to take the leap. And may we one day take that and grow those new wings. And in so doing, we may well live into the new way of being that creates the world we hope for. A world of love, a world of compassion, a world of interconnected and interdependent wholeness. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, we are people of faith. You may not want to hear that word, but make no mistake. Each of us here today made a leap of faith in joining this community, in being here today, and identifying yourself as a Unitarian Universalist in the Bible Belt. With our non-creedal tradition surrounded, as we are by traditional Christianity, being here is a statement and a leap of faith. May we honor that faith that echoes within each of us. May we individually and collectively listen to the whispers, heed the invitation, and answer the call to become the vision of the beloved community we seek. So may it be.